grandfathers can say whatever they feel like saying. A few things I want us to learn from this passage tonight. Number one is the blessedness of coming to Christ. How that it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth. It's not of our will that we come to Christ. It's a blessed gift, power of God to bring a person to the Lord Jesus Christ, like this centurion. And secondly, there's a great blessing in having a burden for others. It's like this centurion had a burden for his servant. A great blessing. The Lord will bless that. Gives you a burden. You go to the Lord for someone. He'll bless that. Whatever he does with that person, he'll bless you. The Lord said that to the centurion, according to your faith. So be it unto you. He was blessed. Just coming in an audience with the Lord. And another thing I want us to learn is that faith, that is hoping in his mercy, is not presumption. The Lord commends it. In fact, he upbraids us for not believing him more, for not believing that he's more willing. And if you'll notice in both these verses or both of these stories, the Lord, the leper said, "Lord, if you will," he said, "I will." Centurions, "Would you come?" He said, "I will." He's willing. He sure is able. We don't half believe our God like we ought to. The amazing thing, as it was said, that someone would come to Christ, that you or I would come to Christ. Look how this chapter begins. In chapter 8, verse 1 says, "He came down from the mountain and great multitudes followed him." Thousands of people. And most of them were unsaved. Most of them were lost. Because look at the last verse in this chapter. You remember the story of the swine? Well, it says the whole city came out to meet him and they asked him to leave. Asked him to leave. Most people then and now don't want anything to do with it. If you do, you're greatly blessed. God hath blessed you. As I quoted, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in his courts." And between these stories, the thousands that followed him for their loaves and fishes and the miracles and the others who asked him to leave, in between these stories, there are certain individuals that our Lord dealt with. There's a leper, there's a centurion, a Roman soldier of all people, a mother-in-law, a sick Peter's mother-in-law. And that underscores the fact to me that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to save certain individuals. That's how this whole Gospel of Matthew begins. Call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. He wasn't trying to save everyone, but he came to seek and to save his people, given to him by the Father. And he did. He saved every one of them. He brought them to himself, every one of them. He went and found them. This leper and this centurion, if we can take our place with these who came to Christ, we can believe with the utmost assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ came all the way to this earth to save us. If we can take our place with this leper and this centurion, the Lord came to save us. That's not presumption. That's believing him. That's faith. Verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, it came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Capernaum. Stop right there. That way you can turn to Matthew 11. Go over there. Matthew 11. Capernaum was a blessed place. A blessed city. Capernaum. I want you to listen to what all the Lord did in Capernaum. His Sermon on the Mount was there. The leper that he saved was there. This centurion that he dealt with was saved. The woman with the issue of blood. Jairus' daughter. The man with the withered hand. The blind and dumb demoniac was healed there. And everything our Lord said in John 6 about the bread of life, He said that at Capernaum. How blessed Capernaum was. How blessed is Rocky Mount, Virginia. More than Capernaum. We've heard all of that and more, haven't we? Well, we were talking a while ago about what all we have looked at in the Lord's Word. And yet, look what He says to Capernaum in chapter 11, verse 23. He says, Thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. That means Christ came. Son of God came to Capernaum. Has He come here? Yes, He has. Exalted to heaven. Yet, He says, shall be brought down to hell. If the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Capernaum is no more. That is, there's no gospel there anymore. And there'll be a day when there's none here. How blessed, though, we have been, haven't we? My, my. Mercy for some, but judgment for most. That's why I say how blessed we are. We don't realize it. We really don't. You take it for granted, like anything good, you keep getting it. You keep, like good food, you keep eating it and eating it, and before long, it's just like regular fare, and you take it for granted. Bye-bye. Well, anyway, in Capernaum, he came, and there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. In Luke 7 is the same account, yet a few more words. In Luke 7, as is often said, a certain centurion. A certain centurion. Do you know how many centurions there were in the Roman army? A centurion is an officer. I don't know what rank, but quite high. An officer in the Roman army. Do you know how many there were? There were legions and legions of Roman soldiers, and there were many thousands of centurions. Well, here this certain centurion came to the Lord. He was a Gentile, a Roman soldier. A Gentile, a Roman soldier. Now, I've known a few lifers, that is, soldiers who were lifers, haven't you? Some of you men that were in the army, John, all three of you Johns were in the service, and you knew some men that had been there, you know, colonels and what have you, lifers they call them, right? That was their life. Were they meek, gentle, kind, sweet, loving fellows? Not. They were the opposite. To live in the armed forces as your life is a hard occupation. It's a hard atmosphere, and you've got to be a hard man to live in it. Roman soldiers were known for their brutality. Brutality. Wicked. They were on the take. They were often quite rich. That makes this man a marvelous trophy of the Lord's saving grace, doesn't it? That he would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has a people out of all classes. The Lord has a people. He told Timothy to pray for kings, all in authority. He said, for God will have all men to be saved. That means that God will have a people out of every vocation, every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation, out of all types, high and low, to show His marvelous saving grace. A certain centurion came to Christ beseeching Him. Now, Roman soldiers didn't beg anybody for anything, ever. It was so beneath them to come to somebody and beseech, that is, plead with them. He told us, He said, when I say jump, they jump. When I say go, they go, my servant and this person. I say come, they come. That's the authority this man had. Yet, something had happened to this man. Except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. This man was born of God. How do you know? The first thing, he broke him. The Lord broke him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord, someone said, no matter how great a man you are, you're going to have to be a beggar when you approach the Lord Jesus Christ. So this great Roman centurion, the Lord broke his heart, showed him who. You know how? Look at Luke 7. Luke 7. This is how the Lord deals with everyone he saves. The same way he did that. We looked at that leper, the same way he does with this centurion. This man believed who Christ was. He saw his need of Christ. That Christ was the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He saw that he himself was nothing, that Christ is all. And he came to him as such. Came to him as a humble beggar, beseeching the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord has to teach a man that. And how does that happen? Luke 7 says in verse 2, a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he said unto him, faith cometh by hearing. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. That's how. And he came. He came. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come. Me. Ask him, seek him, knock him. So he came. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was great mercy. Like I said, it's great mercy if you and I see our need of Christ and come to him. We would not come. Our Lord said in John 5, you will not come unto me that you might have life. And then he said it twice in John 6. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw them. And the Lord in mercy and grace got this old hardened Roman soldier, broke his heart, saw his sinfulness, saw Christ as the Lord of glory, his need of Christ, and he drew him with love, with cords of love. And here this powerful man came as a humble child to the Lord Jesus, to a Jewish rabbi. And he's an enemy. Rome was an enemy. They hated Jews hated Romans. They were under their dominion. They were in bondage to the Romans. They hated these soldiers. They were like, it'd be like Nazi occupation of this country. It'd be like this country be under Nazi occupation. Like France and all those countries that were under Nazi rule. They hated those men walking down their streets. And if those men wanted something, they could take it. Look back at again at Luke 7. I meant to show you this. Oh, what mercy, what grace, what power it takes to turn a man like this into a child of God. Look at this in Luke 7, verse 4 and 5. He sent unto the Lord elders of the Jews, beseeching him he would come and heal his servant. And they came, these elders, these Jewish elders, these rabbis came to Christ for this man. They loved him. He loved them. Read on. And besought the Lord, saying that this man, this Roman soldier, is worthy for whom he should do this. He loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. This man loves our nation. He's built us a church house. He's worthy. Would you come and heal this man's servant? Psalm 122 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for those that love thee will prosper. They shall prosper that love thee. Our Lord is surely talking about the New Jerusalem, His church. He says, they shall prosper that love her. Those that love His people, Christ loves. Those that do for His people, Christ will do for. Christ gave Himself for His church. God to shed His blood for His church. And He says, you do the same, and I'll do for you. like this man. I'll do for you. You give yourselves for her and he'll love you and hear you and grant your desires. Well, go back to Matthew 8. So this man was a great object of the Lord's saving grace. And that he came to the Lord was a great miracle. But no more a miracle than me. How about you? It's really as much or more of a miracle to take a self-righteous religious person like Saul of Tarsus and bring them down and bring them humbly to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone a gutter dweller. Well, first the leper seeks mercy for himself. The leper seeks mercy for himself. And as we said Sunday, we've got to come like that leper. Lord, if thou wilt, it's your will. Everything's according to your will. If you save me or damn me, it's your will. But you can, you're able. And the one thing I need is to be clean. We've got to come like that leper for ourselves. No one can come for us. We have to come for ourselves. Ask ourselves. Seek for ourselves. Knock for ourselves. Call upon the name of the Lord for ourselves. And the blessed promise here is, if you come and you ask whosoever, he says, I will. I loved how quickly the Lord said that. He said, if you will, thou canst make me clean. And so I will. And he reached out and touched him. That old leprous, stinky, dying fella. Nobody wanted to get near him. The Lord laid his blessed hand on him. He said, I will be clean. One man in the midst of that multitude. And then this centurion, though, he comes on behalf of someone else. Now, do you see the progression here? Huh? You see that? If you come and get mercy from the Lord, you know what you'll want? You want mercy for others. Someone once said that someone who hears the gospel is like one beggar telling another beggar where he got food. The woman at the well, and this story is of all of them. Everyone the Lord dealt with. The woman at the well, after the Lord revealed himself to her, says she dropped her water pot, and what'd she do? She ran home. Come see a man. This is him. This is him. Come see a man. The Lord has mercy upon you. You'll want mercy for others. God grant it to be more so. And this certain centurion said to the Lord in verse 6, Lord, see that? That's how you approach the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, so I am. That's why are we so particular about how we refer to the Lord? Because that's who He is. That gives Him glory, all the glory and the honor. That's how you address a sovereign. If you come into the presence of a king, what do you call him? King. King. Lord. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now here's further proof that the Lord did a great work for this man. He has a great desire. He has a great love for this servant. Lowly servant. You know how many servants Roman soldiers had? They could have as many as they would like. Depending on how many men they commanded or how large a rule that they had. They could have as many as they liked. And this man had a tender affection for and a great concern for one lowly servant. One insignificant lowly servant who had the palsy. In the past, he would have said, get rid of him. Get me someone else. Wouldn't he? Not now. He has a love for this man. He has a concern for this man's well-being. That's further proof that the Lord has done a work of grace in this man's heart. You reckon the Lord will hear a man who has great concern for servants? You reckon the Lord will hear a man, will deal well with a man who wants the salvation, the healing of a lowly servant? Does that sound familiar? He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And because he did that, and obedient to the cross, because he did that, God hath given him a name which is above every name. Yes, God loves those who love servants, those who become servants. God's going to hear this man. In fact, the kingdom of God is made up of such servants. The lowly, the nobodies, the nothings. Think about the men and women in this congregation. There are no doctors and lawyers. Not that the Lord doesn't have doctors and lawyers. There's a couple of them in the church in Lexington. A couple of doctors. I don't know many lawyers. I don't. Well, he saves preachers, so he can save lawyers. But this little congregation, made up of servants, package deliverers, truck drivers, gas station, pump gas, people that pump gas, or people that deliver gas, people that take care of sick people. Servants. That's who his kingdom is made up of. The Lord loves servants. What about this servant, though? This is a picture of anybody that's lost. This man, this centurion, had a great desire for this servant of his that was home, sick of the palsy, near death, Luke said, that the Lord would come and heal him. And we've got people that we, just like this servant, that we need the Lord to speak the word, to do something for them. Do you? And this servant, it says he was lying at home. He could not come. I already quoted that. Our Lord said, no man can come unto me. Not to say that he would have if he could have. You know anybody that's at home right now? You know anybody that's in their home right now? You got a son, you got a daughter, you got somebody you love that's at home right now and has no desire for the gospel whatsoever? They ought to be here seeking the Lord, but they're not, or somewhere seeking the Lord. You know anybody like that? My servant lieth at home. Says he's sick of the palsy. He can't move. He can't walk by. He doesn't have anything. He's dead. That's what Luke said. He says near death. Maybe the servant didn't know it, but this centurion knew it. He's about to die. Please. Grievously tormented. Grievously tormented. Miserable. He doesn't know what the problem is. Anybody got anybody like that? Well, as we read, the centurion sent the elders. The elders to the Lord to ask him on his behalf. And then he sent some others to the Lord. It sounds like he never even faced him, but he sent word through other people. Right? And here's what he said. He did this because he said in verse 8, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but you speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm not worthy. Would you turn to Matthew 10 with me? This is wonderful. Matthew chapter 10. This man said, I am not worthy. The leper came, a leper. He said, I need to be clean. This man came and said, I'm not worthy. That's how you approach the Lord of glory. He delights in that. That's the fear of the Lord, you see. Those that, you know, this man had a low opinion of himself and a high opinion of Christ. That's faith. That's understanding. He said, I'm not worthy. In Luke's gospel, he says, don't trouble yourself. Don't put yourself to such trouble to come to my lowly house. I'm not worth the trouble, is what he's saying. But I sure am desperate. So I'm sending somebody to ask you on my behalf. Would you please? In Luke's, in Matthew chapter 10, look at this. He sent out his disciples. This is good for us, Gabe, us going out to preach the gospel. He sent them out in verse 11. And it says, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy. And stay there. Go there and you abide up there. Whoever's worthy. Now, we know there's none worthy. There's no man or woman worthy in themselves. We know that, don't we? Christ is the only one worthy. But what is he saying here? He said, what makes a person worthy of mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Who is mercy for? The unworthy. The undeserving. What makes a person worthy is that they know they're unworthy. What makes a person worthy to hear this glorious gospel is they got to be poor. He said the poor have the gospel preached unto. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the first thing our Lord said. The poor in spirit. Oh Lord, you don't want me. You don't need me. You don't. But I'm coming. Poor. I'm unworthy. Look at this. Read on. When you come into that house, when you find an unworthy sinner, that makes him worthy. When you find a poor sinner, a needy sinner, when you come into that house, you stay there and you salute it. You salute it and you say, if that house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. The Son of Peace, the Prince of Peace, is going to dwell in that house. Find the place where there's an unworthy sinner, and that's where the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell. Count on it. That's not presumption. That's faith. Oh, Lord doesn't need me. No, He doesn't. But that's who He came for. That's who He came for. Who in here is worthy? Who in here is worthy? Nobody? Peace, grace, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you. And Christ died for you. I can say that on the authority of God's Word. Yes, I can. Grace. So feeling unworthy, He sends, listen to this man, He sends these elders, these religious leaders, and He thinks, the Lord will listen to these men. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. They're going to let them go and plead my case for me. What man in here likes to lead in public prayer? Anybody? Last Sunday, we didn't have a reader, and so I read, and I asked somebody to read. I started to ask for a volunteer, but I thought, I won't get one. I started to ask, who will lead us in prayer? And I thought, nobody's going to raise their hand. I wouldn't. And such is the disposition, Brother Gabe, that now it's on you nearly every time to pray. And that's so be it. So be it. That's our position. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go to the Lord and call on Him. Feels worthy to call upon the Lord, to lead in prayer. This man asked the elders, would you go plead for me? That's exactly what He did. Would you plead for me? Maybe he'll hear you. I'm not worth hearing. Maybe he'll hear. I'm an old Roman soldier. I persecuted God's people like Saul the Tar. Maybe he'll hear you. He won't hear me. That's not so, sinner. That's not so, Mr. Centurion. He'll hear every broken-hearted sinner. He'll hear you. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. You can come. Every single one can come. If you're unworthy, come, and He'll hear you. He'll hear you. Nevertheless, He sends these men. And look at what He said in our text. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy. If you just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. You're sovereign. Lord, you're the sovereign Lord. And He said, because I know I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers and say to this man, go, and he goeth. I say unto this man, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He doeth it. Now, this man knew more about God than the average seminary professor, than the average preacher in the average pulpit, didn't he? This Roman soldier who never had any religious training, he knew God. He knew that God has the will, and it's His will that will be done, that God is sovereign. Man is not. He said, I know because I'm just a man. And if I say go, they go or they'll die. They come when I say come. How much more the Lord of glory? This man knew him. He knew who he was. And you can tell if somebody knows the Lord Jesus Christ or not, how they refer to him. God wants to, and God, that's not the God of the Bible. Jesus, if you will, that's not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. You don't know him. You don't know him. And this man knew the sovereign Lord. He acknowledged it. And he said to him, he said this, he said, all you've got to do is say the word. Just speak the word. It's your will, it's your power, it's your word. This is how he's going to be healed. Your word. And anybody that's experienced the power of God, whom God has spoken to through the word, they know what the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Jew first and the Gentile. Why do we preach the word? Why is that all we do? Because that's what saved us, isn't it? That's what we heard. That's what we know God uses. It's the power of God, the word. Just speak the word. And my servant shall be healed. You know, that's my hope. That's my hope. Not only for myself and salvation. He speak the word. He says, clean, and I'm clean. Like he said to the disciples when he was washing their feet. He said, Peter said, wash me all over. He says, you're clean. Not your feet. You are clean. You're clean through the what? The word I spoke to you. You're clean because I said so. Because I said so. Like that woman caught in the act. They said, what do you say? He said, justify. You can't do that. I just did. And you can't say anything about it. Oh, I love that. Love that. You speak the word. You speak the word and it'll be done. My servant will be healed. Lord, just speak the word. That's my hope in preaching. Lord, if you'll speak the word. I'm going to say a bunch of comments. I'm going to say, go through my little outline, all my little notes, and it'll avail nothing. But if you speak the word, just one word, it'll pass from death unto life, from darkness to light. That's right. I've seen it happen. I've had it happen to me. Just speak the word. And that rebel will be healed, he'll be saved, be brought. That rebel will come. That young lady who doesn't know where she's coming or going. She'll start coming. Lord, just speak the word. People, we've got some in here that we need to have an earnest burden for. And we do. But listen to this story, would you? This man came to the Lord earnestly beseeching him. He said, Lord, beseeching means just begging him. Lord, please. All you've got to do is speak the word. Speak the word. What did the Lord say? I will. I will come and heal him. I will. And I said in the outset of this message that we need to believe the Lord more. That it's not presumption to believe the Lord. I think it's unbelief not to. Are you with me? There were two preachers one time. I forget their names. Old preachers. May have been Henry Law. Or I forget which one it was. But they were sitting and talking. And well, one of them came in to talk to his dear brother. And he said, did you hear the news, brother so-and-so? He said, the Lord saved old... What's his name? Somebody they knew, a notorious sinner. He said, the Lord saved him through the preaching of the word. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, he said, it is, brother. It's wonderful. And the one brother said, now I'll never despair of the Lord saving anybody since he saved old so-and-so. And the other preacher said, brother-in-law, I haven't despaired of the Lord saving anybody since He saved me. It's not presumption. It's faith. What if it's not His will? Well, what I find mostly is it is His will. I'm trying to convince myself of this. The Lord, both these messages I was struck with, He said, Lord, if You will. He said, I will. The centurion said, would You come? He said, I will. I will come and heal him. But what? I hear the old writers say, we limit God. We limit God. God can't be limited. You know what I mean. You can't tie His hands. You can't keep Him from doing anything. But what it is we're limited in our thoughts of Him. You see, Scripture says, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, my ways and your way. What He's talking about is His mercy, His great grace. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and them that hope in His mercy. And I learned recently that that means not just hoping for yourself, but for somebody else. In fact, that's what the Lord loves more than anything. You go to Him for somebody else, He loves that. Why do I know? Because that's what He did. His whole life. His whole life was spent for other people. Hanging on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. He did. 5,000 people. No goods. Nothings. Hopeless people. People that had no hope whatsoever for. Oh, you can't save that Saul of Tarsus. No way. He's the worst of the worst. Watch me. I will. And I just tell you what. You can call this presumption if you will, but I just expect the Lord to save some of these people that we're concerned about. I just expect that He's going to come and He's going to heal them. And we're going to rejoice. You reckon? We wouldn't still be in existence if that weren't so. This church wouldn't still be here if it wasn't so. That's the only purpose for this church. Not for us to come and just... carry on, but it's as a city set on a hill, a gospel, to go out to lost sinners. Could the Lord speak the word right now? That servant was at home. Is the Lord's arm too short? Could the Lord speak a word right now to one of these that we're concerned about, sitting in their home right now? Could the Lord speak that word and boom? Could He? Why, most certainly. He did it to me. I remember distinctly working on the railroad. And now understand, the Lord's word is His power. That's what He uses. It's not an experience. Mm-mm. It's not something happens to Him, but it's His word that He uses, like the seed, plants a seed. And when that word goes out, He said it will not return void. And we've had children who have grown up here and heard the word and then leave. I did. Well, did that word, was it void? Not necessarily. The seed may have been planted. We don't know. And in the fullness of time, it happened to me. I distinctly remember the word coming to my heart where the Lord, when He hung on that cross, that very word where He said, Father, forgive him. He knoweth not what he does. And that struck me like a hatchet in my heart. And here I am. Can He do that? You just speak the word. My servants at home, would you speak the word? I will. I will. I love that. Oh, let's believe. Let's start believing the Lord a little more, shall we? All of us. Trusting Him more. Looking forward to what he's about to do. You know, if the Lord's coming, there's going to be some healing going on. The gospel's coming to Kingsport. I expect there'll be some healing. I expect so. Sound like you don't expect. That's faith. Faith is believing who He is. It's not you. It's not you. It's Him. How merciful is He? A lot more than you even know, than we even know. How gracious is He? How much does He delight to show mercy? What lengths will He go through to save? Oh my, from heaven to earth, even to the cross. So I look forward to see some people coming to these waters to be troubled like the pool of Bethesda. Well, look at verse 10. I close. It says, when the Lord heard this, He marveled. One of the only times He ever marveled at anything. The Lord didn't marvel at one single thing on planet Earth. Not the most beautiful buildings. Not the greatest of people. He stood before the most powerful men on Earth. They didn't impress Him. He despised them. He didn't marvel at anything or anyone, but one thing He said He marveled at. This man's faith.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
How many times did He say to His disciples, if you had that much faith, just that much? And this man did. He said, you say the word and it'll happen. He said, I will. He trusted Him. He believed Him. He marveled at this faith. Oh, my Lord, give me this marvelous faith. He said, I haven't found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, verse 11, He said, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And that deserves a message all by itself. But you think about that. We were talking the other day about this, how the men and I were talking about we'll know even as we've been known and walk into glory. And Abraham say, well, hello, Stan. Moses, I gave. They're all equal in the kingdom of heaven. They're all equal. They're all sinners saved by grace. And they all know each other in the kingdom of heaven. My, my. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. This is something of a clue to me about whether or not there'll be a great outpouring of the Jews being saved. Do you see that in that? I don't see it. There'll be some. The Lord has a people, but it says the children of the kingdom cast out. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why me, Lord, as Gentile? Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. He believed the Lord was sovereign. He believed the Lord was merciful. He believed the Lord was willing, and it was done unto him. The Lord had great mercy on him. He confirmed his faith. He gave him more assurance than when he came. He had more faith than I did when he came. Now, Kelly, there's nothing he won't believe the Lord will do. And the Lord healed his servant from that moment. That moment. As quoted, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and them that hope in his mercy, not only for themselves, but for others. Because that's our merciful Lord. He's full of mercy, gracious, and full of mercy. Stand with me. Our Lord, oh my, give us faith. Give us faith. Thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Merciful, gracious, loving, kind, long-suffering, willing, able. Oh Lord, let us believe you. Let us trust you. Let us be more importunate. Let us be more diligent in prayer and pray without ceasing, and give us a burden, Lord, for our own and for others. Give us a burden. We know this is what you do when you have purpose to save some and bring some. You give a burden to the preacher and people alike. Give a burden and let it not ease up. For there are many who need you. Give us a burden here and everywhere your gospel goes. The people in Kingsport, give them a burden, Lord. Call out your sheep there. I believe there are, perhaps like Corinth, much people in that city. And here, Lord, surely you're not through with us. So we ask that you would be pleased to call out sheep. Use the radio. Use word of mouth. Make us witnesses. Let us go and tell what great things the Lord has done for us. Give us courage. Forgive us our cowardice. Give us your Holy Spirit. Give us your word. Give us wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, dear Lord, in dealing with people. And like Jude said, some make a difference, pulling, saving by fear. Lord, grant it. Use your gospel, we pray, for thy glory and honor and for the salvation of your people. It's in Christ's name we ask and give thanks. Amen. You're dismissed.